I call this the culminating beatitude because it culminates the whole list of beatitudes. And Jesus said in Matthew 5, just to review what we heard last week, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those are verse 9 and 10. Jesus was the prince of peacemakers. He's the prince of peacemakers, and he suffered. And others have followed in his steps. And we were thinking last week about Martin Luther King Jr. and how he was jailed and then later shot for trying to bring the peace of human rights being met in our country, nonviolently, without violence. And it reminds me of another fellow that I wrote in my thesis, Dom Helder Camara, a Brazilian bishop, archbishop, I think. And he was trying to fight for the rights of the poor, and he was doubly persecuted because the corrupt government, there was in so much injustice in the government that caused what he called the spiral of rebellion. It's a spiral because the government is unjust, so the people rebel, you know, and then the government represses, and then the people rebel, and it just becomes a spiral. Well, he was fighting for the rights of the poor. He was persecuted by the corrupt government, but he was also persecuted by the militant rebels who did not like his nonviolent stand. Well, this culminates those beatitudes, those previous in 9 and 10, 11 and 12, culminates this list. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This was an expansion. Jesus was expanding what he had said in verse 10. And maybe he concluded, made this the culmination of his beatitudes. He concluded the list in this way because persecution is inevitable in this world. Verse 11 again, I'm going to read it again. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Now, treating persecution as a blessing, that sort of seems a little bit crazy. But, you know, that's what highlights a true Christian, is the ability to go through that persecution and yet realize, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Jesus said it. Persecution started early in the church in New Testament times, and then it continued in the early church history. And then the missionary movement, the modern missionary movement, saw so many people giving their lives up for the sake of Christ. And in recent times, in the last century and a little bit earlier than the last century, more persecution that has happened in all the other ages started happening in that time. And it's just continued to escalate worldwide. And it increases every year. A recent report that I read said that each day 13 Christians die for their faith. You think about that. Every single day, every 2 hours, more than every 2 hours, okay. And then 12 churches are attacked, 12 Christians are unjustly imprisoned, and 5 are abducted. That's a daily thing. So it's true. The gospel, it spreads, as Tertullian said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And that was said a long, long, long time ago during persecution time. Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And it's correct. The gospel spreads at the price of many, many personal crosses. And Christ's promised blessing for this, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, partially explains why this is so, why the church is persecuted as Jesus was. First of all, you think about it. We are aliens. We are citizens of heaven. And we are loyal to a holy king who opposes this world's ungodly activities and self-centered values. Yeah, Jesus is against that. He wants to change that in our hearts. He wants to change that in society through changing our hearts. Well, insults and ill treatment and slander, all these things that he has describing, they're common in life. I mean, it happens whether you're a Christian or not. But if as Jesus says, they happen because of me, then we're in blessed company. Because he says in John 15:20, remember the words that I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And Paul, he wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, a godly life, not just everyone in Christ Jesus, but if you're living a godly life, if you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. That's what Paul said. But we say, in our Christianized nation, we have a Christianized nation, it may not be a Christian all the way through and through, but it's a Christianized nation. We don't see persecution that much. But there is, it happens. There's been churches have had bombs placed in them. And pastors have been shot while they're preaching. But it's rare in comparison to around the world. 13 a day dying for their faith. But we are a global community, cross-cultural community of saints. We say the communion of saints. We say we believe in that. But we are. We are global. The body of Christ is global. And if these believers in other lands are suffering, then Christ's whole body suffers. We should be praying daily for our suffering family members around the world. But this is striking. Their typical prayer requests, when you hear prayer requests from them, yes, they're praying for different things, but one of the things they add to their prayer, it seems all the time, I've read this again and again, please pray we be unafraid to share our faith so that our persecutors can be saved. That just really gets me. That they're praying for more persecution in a way because they know they're going to be persecuted if they share their faith. But they want their persecutors to be saved. A Coptic girl in Egypt, I probably told this before, whose father had died when an Islamic terrorist had bombed their church. She told a TV reporter, and I heard this on the video, let them know that we forgive them. This is a girl whose dad has just been blown apart. And the TV reporter, she says on the news, and it really affected Cairo, Egypt. Let them know that we forgive them. These are strong examples of this culminating beatitude, a living testimony that suffering in Christ's footsteps is the saint's special blessing. It's a special blessing. Jesus ends with it on the Beatitudes. It's a special kind of blessing. He emphasizes it. And he emphasizes it because it's so true. Because persecution identifies us with the kingdom of God. It identifies us with Jesus. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In Acts 14, when Paul and Barnabas were revisiting the churches in Asia Minor that they had a bunch of disciples and churches established. And here's what they said to them. They said they were encouraging the disciples. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Well, this wasn't a warning. This was what I've been saying. It's Christian reality in a world that's not heaven yet. This is not heaven yet. It's a mixture of heaven and hell. And Paul knew how Jesus suffered. He knew exactly the way that Christ suffered. And yet he longed to identify with his Savior. In Philippians 3:10, he says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings." The fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Our identity in Christ gives us something. It gives us a kind of peace that Jesus promised us. A kind of peace that lets us face suffering with a blessed, or what we've said before, a happy. Looked up that word again and just to make sure I got it right. It means rejoicing. It means happy, joyful. Oh boy, it doesn't sound joyful, but this is what Jesus said in John 16:33, one of my favorite verses. I like the King James version of it, or the New King James. These things I have spoken to you that in me, in your relationship with me, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Rejoice and be glad. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's where our victory is at, in Christ's overcoming the world. That's how Peter encouraged the persecuted saints that were scattered because of persecution. In 1 Peter 2:21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." That's where I got my sermon theme. Suffering in Christ's footsteps is the saint's special blessing. Yes, his example that you should follow in his steps. Now, some might think it illogical to rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad about suffering. But we do have some sound reasons for it. One of them is this. In this world, this is a world where ultimates are not really thought too much about. People are thinking of the present only. They're not thinking of ultimate. But see, we are looking for an ultimate blessing. We're waiting for an ultimate blessing. Temporarily, we may be maligned for the sake of Christ. But we look to a future day when we will hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." Now that word happiness, it's from the same Greek word. It's the root word, actually, for the word blessed in the whole list that Jesus has given us in the Beatitudes for blessedness. Again, it goes back to the word joy, rejoicing, happiness, just celebrating blessedness. Well, Paul contrasts this temporary thing, this idea of our brief earthly suffering in comparison. He's contrasting it with the eternal heavenly reward that we are going to get. And again, I'm going to read a lot of verses out of 2 Corinthians here, 4:17. "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." The contrast is just out of this world. It's beyond all comparison. But Christ's final reason for saints to rejoice and be glad is that persecution joins us to a tried and true rank of saints that have gone on before us. Past saints that were tried and true and found faithful. "For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These prophets were telling the truth of God. They were, in a sense, like we as prophets are speaking forth the gospel and telling people that Jesus loves them and wants to free them from their sins. "But I'm not a sinner, and don't you say so, or I'll knock your head off." And sometimes they do. Especially in some other countries, they do that. Well, we're blessed. If we're in those ranks, then we're blessed to join other faithful saints on a well-worn path, a well-beaten path. And we're blessed by the same grace that upheld them and the same comfort that comforted them. Again, 2 Corinthians 1:5. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. And we're also blessed with the same divine strength that united them to Christ's ultimate and eternal victory. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I wore a cross today. This is a cross that my mother gave me. She received it from a man who took nails and he would weld them together, then he would solder brass over them. And it's about ready to wear through. I wore it for years until they said I shouldn't be wearing it in the hospital because it was a danger or something. I don't know. I wore it all the time. In fact, I did a self-portrait of me helping a lady get her baby latched on. And I was a labor and delivery nurse, if you didn't know that. And getting this baby latched on, and there's my cross dangling with my stethoscope. But I wore it today for a reason. Crosses are emblems of what? Execution. They're treated like jewelry. But if we wear them, let's wear them to remind us of a crucified Savior. Let's take this cross necklace and wear it like a noose, an instrument of execution that an executioner would put around you, a symbol of our death to self-will in Christ. Let crosses be worn to identify us with His death and to remind us of the many martyrs in His persecuted body that's around the world. Suffering for Christ doesn't save us. The cross is what saved us. But He tells us, rejoice and be glad when persecuted for Him, because by uniting with Jesus in faith, His resurrection becomes our present and our eternal victory over any and over all the suffering that this world could throw against us. There's no suffering that we cannot have victory over through His resurrection. Suffering in Christ's footsteps is the saint's special blessing. Jesus longs someday to say to us, come and share in your master's happiness. But he calls us right now. He has a calling for us right now for that happiness. And how does he do it? He uses this list of beatitudes. You know, the beatitudes are beatitudes, attitudes of being, that how we're supposed to live, how to think and live. And especially this culminating beatitude of cross-bearing, which is what he ends with. And that call that he gives us, that call is contained in his precious words, his invitation, and his bidding to us. Take up your cross and follow me. Let's do it. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these beatitudes. We're ending this series on the one that is probably the most serious. And it was the most serious because you took 3 verses to talk about it. You didn't do that in the other beatitudes, just this one. And you explained it so thoroughly. And then you told your apostles to talk about it. They went through it in the book of Acts, we know. And then they told us and they encouraged the believers who were going through persecution at that time too. Father God, help us to, on a daily basis, because that's what you say also, take up your cross daily and follow me. Lord, let us do this. And let us do as we go through Holy Week next week, Lord, thinking about your entrance into the city. Lord, we want you to enter into the city of our hearts and enter into this village. As we think about Holy Week, we know, Lord, what that means. There's a Good Friday coming, a Friday in which the cross stood before you. And I pray, Father God, that we will see that that's our cross too. We glory in the cross. We carry the cross. And Lord, it's our blessing. It's our special blessing from you in this world because of following you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.